B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily to start your week off. On this episode, we're going to be talking about, obviously, the lock-in tournament for the LCS. The LA Valiant are just the Valiant because we have no idea where they're going to end up. And esports and betting, that's supposed to be becoming a big thing in the future. Gamers agree. And we've got Robbie Landis in the studio to talk to us a little bit about comic books and more. That's going to be coming up on this episode of Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
We're here. It's Monday, y'all. I am really excited, but also at the same time, I am dreading this week because I have to go grocery shopping and it is the big game.
The big game is this weekend.
Right. So going to the grocery store might as well be,
You know what? You got to knock it out early in the week.
That's why I got to go today.
Or find the gift that is grocery delivery.
It will save you so much. My grocery delivery is never accurate. It's never what I ordered. It's never what I said. I ordered the organic strawberries. They give me the frozen. Frozen ones. I sit back, I get the bread.
Look, there is a bit of a risk to it, depending on who you get. Some people are very careful about it. They'll send you pictures and be like, hey, they don't have it. What do you want to replace? Other people are like, oh, they're out of Coke. I guess I'm going to give them a Pepsi.
Nah, it's all bad.
Take that trash back.
As usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Callie Scales, and Chad Callahan, and you already heard Robbie Landis in the building with us. But before we get started, I want to know, go around the horn right quick, what everybody get into over the weekend, because it was a nice weekend. I had a great weekend.
You know what? It wasn't too bad. I was actually finally able to jump back into Cyberpunk, and I can tell you that the stability changes, well, yes, it broke the game for some people for a little while. They helped.
Your frame rate was way better. I watched some of your stream.
Beforehand, streaming it on the lowest possible settings, I could just be like in the main menu not doing anything. And I would drop frames, and now I can have it almost on ultra while streaming, and it looks fine. So definitely helped improve stability performance.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I played D&D and watched the LCS, but I really want to get Chad's answer, because when you asked that, Chad gave me a look that could only be described as naughty and workplace inappropriate. So I'm curious what Chad did over the weekend.
I played a lot of Magic Arena. I got sucked back in.
Oh, no.
They have a code now where you get 3 free packs for the new one, the new...
Kaldheim?
Yep, Kaldheim. And It's pretty good.
Listen,
I remember
they put in a squirrel commander finally. They brought back the Phyrexians.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, it's everything I love about Magic. I hate you guys.
It's
you nerds.
So good.
So nerdy. This is so nerdy.
I don't care.
It's Checkpoint Daily. Of course it is.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean,
this is nerdy even by our standards.
Even by our standards.
He's always talking about the squirrel Phyrexians.
I'm excited because they are officially bringing it to mobile soon. I guess they did it on certain Android devices.
I'm surprised it wasn't already there.
Yeah, They've been doing it for a while. But I think they haven't gotten the right.
I remember when Hearthstone hit mobile, that was a game changer. I was still working at Levi's at the time. I was a manager, so everybody was just playing Hearthstone when I was on duty.
What
a great shopping experience.
I mean, that's
really cool. Over the weekend, I didn't do much. Watched a lot of Vikings, as you guys have heard me talk about for the last couple weeks. But I actually watched a ton.
By the way, the biggest transformation is season one Bjorn to season two Bjorn.
Yo! Totally different guy.
He went from Squirtle to Blastoise overnight.
Yeah, he did. He did. His glow up was serious. But I actually watched the RLCS finals for North America, like straight through. Let me tell you something. That was nuts. I have never seen Rocket League played at that high intensity in a very long time.
Watching Rocket League. If there's
so
an esport
fun.
That I will like.
Was it Scrub Killer Lover?
It was better.
No.
It was
Scrub
better.
Killer did like a three in the air bounce when we
listen,
saw him.
I tweeted out some clips. You could go check out my Twitter at Great Laker Nora. I put some clips out. It was insane. One guy. That I shared, he went up, I believe it was for NRG. He goes up, he taps the ball, and then he lets his car just plummet, and then he darts back up and just, He just kisses it.
I love hearing
unless his teammate just. Oh, it was great.
I love hearing the description of like great Rocket League moves because it's always like, yeah, he drove up the side of the wall and then flipped up, then did the kickflip McTwist and knocked it into the goal. And I'm like, dang.
No,
it's fun to watch. It's by far my favorite one because they're quick. I think that's why I get roped into Rocket League so quick, because it's 5 minutes. It's guaranteed you only have 5 minutes. I mean, there's a little bit of a countdown, but still, like, and it's so fast-paced. I love it.
It's fast-paced, and it's easy to understand.
Oh, 100%.
Did the ball go into the net?
Yeah.
Yes, they won. Okay.
That's fair.
Look, you're either going to win in Rocket League or you ain't going to win in Rocket League.
You go win or you ain't going to win. Anyway, with that said, guys, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right, so we got to talk about the LA Valiant, or I don't know, the
what the Valiant,
Chengdu Valiant,
the,
wherever
the
they're
Valiant,
from now,
the Valiant.
They basically cut their entire staff to move over and play outside the country.
Yeah,
so those players can no longer re-sign other teams. We're past that era, right?
Yes, that is correct. So essentially, and Robbie will assist me on this one. Essentially, what has happened is that Immortals Gaming Club, who owns the Valiant, they decided that because of COVID and all the other stuff, that they would be moving the team to the Asia-Pacific region. They're not unique in that. Mm-hmm. A few teams have already done that. However, they've maintained their staff and rosters. So I believe Philly is operating
Philly
out of
is
Asia
one of them.
Mm-hmm. Pacific. New York, Excelsior mm-hmm. is playing out of Asia Pacific, which makes sense because most of those teams are made up of South Korean players.
Yeah, no, what we're seeing happen here, and obviously we haven't got anything, you know, firm on it one way or the other, because up until this happened, the Immortals Gaming Club had actually said that they were not going to do this because a Halo of Thoughts over on Twitter, who is a leaker of both Overwatch stuff and other esports, had mentioned this a while ago, and they straight up came out and denied that it was happening. Well, now you look like fools for lying to us. But this reeks to me exactly of what happened to the Vancouver Titans, right? The higher-ups basically want to be able to make, you know, money off of their team, and since they're going over into the Asian-Pacific region, they probably want to get an entirely Asian team in order to try to capitalize on the fan base.
Yeah, and the thing is, to your point, Callie, that the players who are already on the team who, you know, obviously there's the ubiquitous visa issues. That's what's being cited as to why they couldn't get their players and staff over there. But Agilides, who is, you know, a well-loved and, you know, beloved player going all the way back to season one, put out a tweet saying, I most likely won't be competing at OWL this season after this, focusing on my stream. Pretty disappointed how the whole situation unfolded. And let me tell you guys, social media was not kind to the LA Valiant when it came to this move.
I got a couple thoughts on that. First of all, if massive issues with visas is the reason that you decided to do this, you knew that this was coming.
You had a
for
year.
Months. And if you didn't know, that is malfeasance on the part of the league, and this league should be shut down. But I'm assuming you did know, because I don't think that's the case. The other thing about that is congratulations to the LA Gladiators, who are about to get a lot of new fans.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And you know what? And the biggest thing to me that it infuriates me is that professional sports teams of any sport move all the time. Oh, yeah. We just saw the Rams move from, you know, St. Louis back to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. The Raiders in the NFL are moving to Las Vegas. This happens all the time. And while I understand that necessarily teams may not move countries, even though we saw Winnipeg move to Phoenix and become the Coyotes from being the Jets back in the 90s in hockey, it does happen.
Also, your team goes with you.
Your team goes with you.
True.
You don't fire everybody, and then all of a sudden, now you got a whole brand new team.
Right, we're not talking about the front office staff. Yeah, but you know what? When the relocation happens, I'll bet you a lot of people in the front office do get
cool.
let go.
You
the
lose
talent goes.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind, too, is just before we went into the 2020 season, the Valiant had actually basically restructured their entire team from the ground
already
up.
And rebranded.
Yeah, you're not going to get away with that two times in a row. Like, this is unforgivable in my eyes as a fan.
So, Robbie, while we got you here, we got to talk about the other identity this week. So, what's happening on OI?
Well, I know that you guys weren't very keen on us talking about the Snyder Cut last week.
No. God,
that is in the room.
I will mute you. I am going to mute you.
Nope, we ain't talking about that anymore until it comes out in, I think, May. This week, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be all about Spider-Man. We're actually,
yes!
I'm doing the best I can to catch up on all things that are currently Spider-Man right now. Saladin Ahmed's Miles Morales, I got caught up on that, which is, you know, it really blows my mind how perfectly he's able to hit on everything that makes Miles Spider-Man. But it's not just a copy of what we know of Peter Parker, right? Like, the Black Cat angle is there, the Mary Jane angle is there, but they're not them.
But they're so different.
They're so different. Yeah. It's so great. I'm having so much fun with that.
Did Abrams and Son ever finish his book?
They did.
Oh.
And it is, oh my gosh, it's 5 issues long. If you have not read J.J. Abrams' run of Spider-Man, you need to do it. The only criticism that I have about it is that it's only 5 issues long and it doesn't explore, because he creates such an intriguing world, and it's great. And then I'm also currently getting caught up on Nick Spencer's The Amazing Spider-Man, who I think has one of the coolest villains I've ever seen so far. Hasn't been revealed, at least to me yet, where I'm at, where he is, but apparently he's from hell. He's like this dude.
He's just from hell.
Can relate.
Yeah. he has like bandaged up face. He looks like a monster. And then he just has like this giant centipede that's wrapped around him that like he uses to attack people. And I think the end of bandages, made of all like bugs and stuff.
Yeah, maybe he's just a sentient bug.
Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, calls himself
Oogie Boogie.
Calls himself Kindred, but like there's one scene where he just straight up murders a classic Spider-Man villain just straight on page. Just like
does he capture Santa Claus at some point?
Nope. Yeah. It's Oogie Boogie.
Accidentally.
That's Easter Bunny. It's better. It's worse than Oogie Boogie. Like, it's really cool.
I'm into it.
Really enjoying it.
Awesome,
so we're
awesome.
Basically going to be getting caught up on all things Spider-Man.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, make sure you guys check that out. Robbie, where can they find that and at what time?
They can find that obviously over at checkpointxp.com. You can find it wherever you find your podcast: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and new episodes come out every Tuesday.
Awesome, awesome. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the LCS lock-in finals went down over this weekend. Callie, I know you watched a ton of it. I watched it as well. It kind of, in my opinion, went par to the course, but was made a little exciting at the end, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. Can I just say, I think I enjoyed watching the LCS lock-in tournament as a whole.
Yeah.
More than I have enjoyed watching esports in 2 years.
Wow.
So Team Liquid emerges 3-2 winners over C9 in the end, but like, oh my God. Actual competition.
It was great.
Actual high level play.
Who is the standout this year? I mean, we're a couple of weeks in. Who is the actual, like, if you had to pick one team that's the biggest standout?
TL is TL.
Well, outside of the obvious ones, like Cloud9 TL aside.
100 Thieves.
100 Thieves.
I think 100 Thieves is the team that is better than I expected them to be this year. Again, TL and C9, we expected them to be good, and they are. They're
real good.
Really good. Just like all the silver scrapes we got to hear, we got to go games going to 5, not a bunch of blowouts. It was real competition,
and let me
guys.
Let me tell you the best thing, Chad, as somebody who does not watch a lot of League, for you, the casual, this was so fun to watch because people fought.
Right.
They fought.
Actual scrimmage, not
actual,
just demolish.
Actual fighting. It was like, it was almost like watching the LPL for a minute. Like the first two games.
Bloodthirsty.
The first two games of C9 versus Team Liquid, I believe, were easily in double digit kills. On, you know, I think one of them may have had double digit kills on both sides, if not close to it. But the point is that they fought each other. They went at each other. They played aggressively. It wasn't like Team Liquid, like, ooh, let's farm for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
let's farm at 15 minutes.
30
and
minutes,
wait for,
no rush, guys.
Yeah, and let's wait for C9 to throw at Baron. And then, like, no. What happened is they went out. Both teams played aggressively. And overall, across the board, everybody was so much more aggressive throughout the whole lockdown.
I thought so. And my biggest hope for this is that this isn't just a byproduct of the fact that it's a tournament that really doesn't affect the season outcome. It was just like, hey, it's the preseason, it's to get to know everybody, and they weren't just having fun in that case. This is what I want the actual season to look like.
Yeah, no, it was cool. And I'm really happy with C9 as well in the way they were able to battle back and almost force that reverse sweep.
Yep.
Because I was very worried that C9 would become Blabber and the Blabettes. but they actually pulled it out. And for those last three matches or so, Perks really stepped up.
Yeah, that said, I did see your tweet, Norris, and I agree. Perks needs to not play Yone anymore.
Never again.
Get off Yone.
Never again. But... with that said, that's going to be it for part one. And in part two, we're going to talk about esports betting. Listen, I know if you live in a state with a legalized sports book, you have seen commercials about throwing away your money on imaginary stats and stuff all week, month long. But guess what? Esports is going to be coming up next. So stay tuned. More Checkpoint Daily.
Working around bugs in Cyberpunk 2077, but your stomach is making you hangry? Cure your craving with Zaxby's. No need to hit pause. Order Zaxby's famous chicken, sandwiches, and salads for pickup and delivery on the Zaxby's app or over at Zaxby's.com. Cruise the streets of Cyberpunk's Night City while it arrives at your doorstep. Just order from Zaxby's indescribably good menu on the app or online and never miss a moment of game time.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. And listen, we got Robbie here, so we already talked a little bit about the other identity. But don't forget, we also are the voice of college esports. If you are interested in what's happening in the college esports world, make sure you guys check out Checkpoint on Campus. It is one of the top shows. As a matter of fact, I take it back. The only show completely dedicated to the college esports scene. And we got more coming for you with the Checkpoint esports, college esports update. I got a lot of words I got to say to remember these things, but that's what it is, the college esports update. If you're just concerned about stats and scores, you can check that show out as well. Now, esports betting has been a sort of cloud. I don't want to say hanging. I don't want to call it a dark cloud because some clouds are nice.
No, it's just been on the horizon.
But it is a cloud that has been hanging over the esports world for the better part of a few years now, especially in America, because Americans like to gamble, and we like to gamble a lot.
We like losing money.
We like losing money. It's a national pastime. It's like it's like taxes, baseball, and gambling.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, but esports is a new era. And it's no exception to that one. But gameindustry.biz put out a survey that said over 50% of esports followers would bet on esports if they could.
That blows me away because we know that esports tend to be a little bit younger, and the millennial generation does not like gambling.
You know what they do like, though? They like sitting on the couch, and that's essentially what this is doing. They don't like going to casinos.
Chad. All right, there. You are right on this. When you go to a casino, everything's stacked against you.
Right.
But when you're actually betting on sports, right, or in this case, esports, games you know, when you feel like you have a little bit of an edge or when you feel like you actually have the expertise putting your money down, I think that it skews the way that we look at
That's foolishness. Have you looked at esports the last few years? No one can predict anything.
Yes, fine. When you follow teams like CLG, yes, you're going to be used to losing.
Well
just bet against
them.
Yeah, but that's easy money. The point is that, you know, I think Robbie and Chad, I think you guys are kind of on to the right energy, but I still think that doesn't really address as to why esports, you know, fans will be more likely to bet. Number one, is I think so many people previously said that they wouldn't bet because they had to do the old school way. You got to get up, go to a casino.
Go to the sports book.
If you got one, talk to some old dude who has no clue as to what you're talking about outside of what's the spread.
There's not a good way to do it.
Also, how many sports books out there are actually carrying like the League of Legends match? Because one of the fun things to do if you happen to be someone who goes to the sports book is sitting in the sports book, having a drink, and watching the game. How many of them are actually carrying the LCS versus the NFL?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another big thing. But now, with the advent of being able to bet from your phone, bet online.
That terrifies me.
You know what I'm saying? Not having a...
How much money are you losing?
None.
Oh, you're not doing it?
I'm broke.
I don't gamble.
I don't have any money.
I don't really gamble, but like I'm not a opposed to it.
No, like, I'm not a gambler either, but if I could throw, like, you know, a 50 or 100 down on the three-peat from the San Francisco Shock next season, I'm doing it.
If there's, like, what do they do for the March Madness kind of thing? If they do something like that for
the NCAA
esports,
tournament?
Yeah, I would do that. I would get in just because usually that's, like, it's more than just gambling. It's, like, it's an
event.
It's
a social experience.
It's a social experience. You're going,
you're
hanging out.
Okay,
that
when they come out with, like, an officially sanctioned fantasy, you know, whether it's League of Legends or Overwatch League.
If we're talking about some gambling and I could win money playing fantasy OWL, I'm in.
Yep. Dude, that's the stuff that I think we need to get to. That's the next level of gambling, because that's where you get the common everyday people like me who is like, you know, mediocre at games.
It
but
turns
like,
into
it,
a social interaction more than
that's
just
what
gambling.
I want to go in my Discord and be like, dude, oh man, this is doing great. I'm winning so much money. Ah, but I'm losing. You want that?
Well, the thing with me is that I feel like because esports is so arbitrary, even more arbitrary than traditional sports, is like I don't want to go in and bet on what's going to be the kill line in, you know what I'm
what's
saying?
What's the over under?
In CLG versus Golden Guardians. I can't predict that because they may choose to not do anything. They may choose to sit there and farm objectives and not fight each other at all.
Yeah.
Right? So that's too high of a possibility for me to bet on something like that. But if we're talking about fantasy, talking about what players are going to perform this season as opposed to other ones.
Oh, I will come in and trash talk everybody else's team every week.
Absolutely. we had a play fantasy league for OWL for the first season, and it got toxic. Mm-hmm. It got real toxic in there. But it was fun, you know what I mean? It was really awesome, and we had a great time. But I think the thing that I don't like, that I'm worried about, though, when it comes to this, is that we know that esports skews young, right? Which is another reason why I think we didn't see a lot of support for it, because a lot of those people flat out were not old enough to gamble yet.
Yeah, but now esports is like 5 years in the limelight, and a lot of those 16-year-old fans are 21-year-old fans.
There you go.
And on top
and
of that, you got
plenty of money.
You got to think of
how do they have money? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they've been winning it. It's been given to them from all the esports organizations.
They've been betting on the meme stocks. Well, how they got the money.
The ones who are actually paying out anyway.
Right.
But yeah, exactly.
The last year has been the biggest spotlight on esports, which is bringing in so many more people to at least view it or understand it or at least look into what it is. Well, and I think that's the biggest skew to why this number is so large today.
But I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this many times. The one thing that is holding esports back from becoming a truly mainstream phenomenon is people cannot blow copious amounts of money on it yet. And now, if you allow this to happen and spread, this is what's going to happen. Robbie, we went to Boston many moons ago, and we had an event where we were doing some stuff with the Boston Uprising, and it was a great time. I had a dad. He was a parent. He walked up to me. He pulled out his phone. He said, "Who should I bet on?" And I looked at him, and I said, Sir.
The San Francisco Shock.
Bet on San Francisco Shock. but it was the point that it was this middle-aged guy who was there at an esports event with his son. His main concern was, how do I make money?
That man has a gambling problem. He just lost his kid's college fund.
Absolutely.
Hey, not if he got on the Shock.
No. I was about to say, he just got his son a college
fund.
Well,
actually, no, it was season one, so he lost a lot of money.
No, it was.
Yeah.
Right. Yep, right,
he lost
right,
a lot of
right.
money. That was London.
Never mind that.
But either way, this study does say 52% support it, as opposed to only 28 who say they wouldn't bet at all. So you still
got some undecided in
there. So you still got people who are undecided who, I guess it depends on what esport and if they got money.
Look, let me ask you this. You're talking to the generation that made loot boxes
work,
which is gambling, everybody.
It's gambling.
made it the juggernaut force that it is today. So don't tell me that it's not going to work.
Listen, Robbie. It was as if you took my brain out of my head and put it into your voice box. That is exactly what I was going to do.
If casinos are smart, here's what you do. On top of gambling,
FIFA. FIFA machine.
I was going to say, on top of that, you get a free skin every single time you do place a bet. And you don't know what skin it is.
Hold on now. That's exploitative. Hold on. That's
let's exploit it.
And it's only to that casino. That casino gives you a specific type of skin.
Oh, so now I got to go to Motor City, MGM, and Greektown?
I did. I just sold so much money right
now. Chad, you just breathed that into the ether. You want the that is going to be the new scummy thing.
Oh, my God.
Only available to a minimum $100 bets.
Anyway, listen, we have now cracked the code as to how the next wave of microtransactions is about to come through. But unfortunately, that's going to be time for us today. First of all, we want to thank Robbie Landis for sitting in on the show with us. You're welcome back as always, anytime. But for Cali Scales and Chad Callahan, I am your host, Norris Howard. Man, protect your pockets, man. Protect your pockets.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.